Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, as many of you know, I'm a big fan of Lego. If you go in my office, you'll see I've got a few minifigs on my desk. I've got the model that I made of St. Paul up on the file cabinet. It's just a fun way that I like to be creative. Well, as a Lego fan, I often hear about new sets that are coming out. 2 weeks ago, I heard about one that just sounded completely ridiculous. I had no intention of buying it. It was a Minion from Despicable Me, which is fine, right? I like the Minions. But it was 8 feet tall and had over 102,000 pieces. Most of which were yellow. It's like one of those massive statues that you would see at Legoland. But here it was as a product that you could buy. The video on the Lego website showed this guy pushing a box bigger than he was through his front door. The product page said that it would take you over a year to put it together. Some of the pictures showed people with this massive Minion statue in their living room. Now, the day that I looked, there was no price listed. But at the typical cost of 10 cents a piece, that would still be over $10,000. Right? I don't think so. The website then said that more big news was coming the next day. They even had a little countdown timer for it. So out of curiosity, I went back the next day thinking it was going to be the price reveal. But the website said this. Gotcha. We're not planning to release a giant Minion anytime soon. We were just having a little, April Fool's Day fun. I'll admit it, they got me. I thought it was real. Even though I didn't want to buy it, I thought they were telling the truth. Everything on their website made it look like this giant 8-foot-tall Minion was legit. Now, of course, hearing an April Fool's Day joke like this is just silly and harmless. But sometimes people think something's true when it's not, and it's more serious. I mean, one of the phrases in our pop culture lexicon now is fake news, right? Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between what's true and what's not. Especially when you don't have people saying the next day, ha ha, April Fools. So then how do you tell if something is fake or legit? How can you decide if you should trust something or not? And, to be more specific, what about the resurrection? Well, of course, on the one hand, we celebrate resurrection. Right? We're in the season of Easter. We are Easter people who live on this side of the empty tomb. But on the other hand, none of us were there when it happened. Yes, there have been people who have tried to, quote, prove the resurrection, but there were no news reporters that first Easter morning. We don't have any camera footage of the stone being rolled back and Jesus walking out. We don't have any unbiased account. And so I think there's part of us that maybe wonders if it's true. Maybe it's too ridiculous to be true. Maybe it's too good to be true. Maybe it just doesn't make sense. Is it all a hoax, like a big old April Fool's Day joke? Well, today's gospel reading actually answers that very question by giving us 5 very good pieces of evidence for the resurrection. So let's look at each one here. To set the scene, just prior to this story, was the story of the 2 disciples who encountered the risen Christ on the road to Emmaus. So they have then returned and told the other disciples what happened. Those disciples then told the two travelers that the risen Christ appeared to Simon too. So in other words, the first piece of evidence for the resurrection is the multiple stories of it. Right? This is what the disciples are dealing with at the start of this reading. They have different accounts of it coming in. But at this point, it's kind of like hearing stories of Bigfoot. Some people claim to have seen him, but most people haven't. And those who haven't think that the stories are ridiculous. It's the same thing today. Some people, including us sometimes, hear the stories of the resurrection and we don't completely buy it. They sound great, but maybe we're a little hesitant. We read the words on the page in the Bible, but it's like reading a product page online. Is this legit? We've learned that if it sounds too good to be true, then it probably is. We are skeptical people. We live in a skeptical society. So sometimes the words aren't always enough. So, like those first disciples, we need more. So, after they hear these multiple reports, or as the text says, while they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them. So first, there were the stories, and second, the risen Christ stood right there in front of them. Now, you would think that would be convincing enough, right? I mean, he's right here. How much more obvious can you get? But it's not. The text says that the disciples were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Even after the risen Christ shows them his body and his wounds, they were disbelieving and still wondering. So even the first disciples, the people who had literally followed Jesus around day after day, didn't believe it at first. They heard the stories, they saw him right there in front of them, and they still had a mix of belief and doubt. Which means, if you find yourself in a mix of belief and doubt, it's okay. You are in good company. You are allowed to wonder and doubt and be suspicious. It's a natural reaction to hearing something like this. Because, as I mentioned on Easter Sunday, resurrection completely rewrites how the world works. So that means it might take a little bit for your mind to adjust. This isn't something that's going to make sense at first glance. And to make it even more challenging, today we don't have the risen Christ in front of us like they did. But in a way, we do have Christ in front of us. Because the church exists. We are the body of Christ in the world. We present him to others. And you would think that the very existence of the church would be evidence enough of the resurrection. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes people think the church is a business, or a club, or an irrelevant group of brainwashed people. They think it's just a bunch of hypocrites, or scandals, or people passing judgments on others. But thinking that way is like the original disciples thinking the risen Christ was a ghost. They didn't understand what was right there in front of them. so more support is needed. The original disciples had the stories, they had the risen Christ in front of them, but they still weren't convinced. So the third thing that happened was that Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Now, most of the time when we think of peace, we think it means the absence of conflict. And so, peace be with you then becomes just the churchy way of saying, I wish that you don't have any struggles in life. Or more commonly, have a nice day. But you have no control over whether you'll have a nice day or not. Some people might even say, I don't want to have a nice day. It's like telling the person getting on a plane, have a nice flight. And they said, well, that's really up to the captain, isn't it? The problem here is that we often confuse peace with security. Security means no trouble can get to you. Think about security cameras, security systems, security guards, homeland security, security software on your computer, and on and on and on, right? Security is there to protect you so nothing bad can reach you. But bad things still happen. Peace, though, is different. Peace means that even when you're experiencing trouble, the trouble isn't in control. Peace means that you can sleep at night, even though you know the world is crazy. Peace means trusting that God is in charge, because you know that you aren't. Thinking about it that way completely redefines what world peace means. Or, let me put it this way. It is not a coincidence that we say both, peace be with you, and the Lord be with you. That's because the Lord is our peace. When we shake hands and say, peace be with you, we're not just using churchy language to say, have a nice day. Instead, we are reminding others, and they are reminding us, that Jesus is with us in our struggles. That's what we need, my friends. That's what resurrection gives us. It's the promise of peace. Even in the face of death, Jesus is still with us. We remembered that yesterday when we had Marlowe's memorial service. That's the promise of resurrection for all of us. That Jesus is with us even in times of trouble and death. So the first disciples had the stories of the risen Christ. They saw him there with them. They received his promise of peace. But there was still more to convince them of the truth of the resurrection. The fourth thing is that Jesus opened scriptures to them. He helped them see that resurrection was connected to everything they had already learned. It all fit together. Right? Resurrection was not this thing that came out of the blue. Instead, it was a part of how things were going to play out. Both Jesus' death and his resurrection were inevitable. And this is why we still read the Bible today. We see how stories from back then connect to our lives today. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing for those disciples. He was connecting the stories that they knew to their own lived experience. They were continuing the biblical story, just as we do. Plus, in our lives, death and resurrection are inevitable too. We know that death will happen, but because of Jesus, resurrection will happen too. And finally, the last support in this text for resurrection is that Jesus sent the disciples out to tell others about it. You are witnesses of these things, Jesus said. Jesus wouldn't send them or us out to tell a lie. And think of this. Here we have a whole bunch of scared, overwhelmed, doubting people who weren't even convinced of the resurrection for themselves. And Jesus trusts them to share the good news with others? Really? That's like Jesus trusting the church today. Has he seen us? Doesn't he know how broken and unsure of ourselves we are? Doesn't he know how we mess up? Yes, of course he knows. But he still trusts us. Why? Because the truth of the resurrection is not based upon our ability or confidence or even faith. It's based upon him. So how do we know that resurrection's true and not some big April Fool's joke? Well, because of five very good reasons. We have the stories. The church exists. We've been given his peace. It ties into scripture. And we've been sent out to tell others about it. I don't know about you, but that is way more convincing to me and way more important than a product page for a giant Lego minion. Whether you are living in the first century or the 21st century, resurrection is good news, it is true news, and it is news worth sharing. And that's no joke. In the name of the one whose resurrection is wonderfully true, Jesus Christ our Lord. All right.